Martha Dolan, member of the Outrigger Canoe Club's Historical Committee. For some time, the committee has been conducting oral interviews of prominent members of our club. Today, it is my pleasure to interview George Alvin Cook, Jr., a longtime member and former officer of the Outrigger Canoe Club. We are in the boardroom of the club on a beautiful Hawaiian day. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Paul. Okay, good morning, Paul.
George, where were you born and brought up?
Well, I was born in El Paso, Texas, and I was essentially brought up here in Hawaii. I had my second birthday on the ship coming from California in 1922, the steamship Maui, and we landed in Honolulu Harbor. And since then, I've lived in Hawaii ever since.
That's fantastic. Where did your parents hail from?
Well, my mother and father were Mother Inez Lindsay Cook and George Alvin Cook, my father. They lived in Montgomery, Alabama. In fact, they met there and were married there. And then for some reason, which I later found out, they moved to a godforsaken place called El Paso, Texas. And then I found out later, when my mother got in advanced age, that it was because she had had tuberculosis. And so they wanted to go to a dry area, and so that's how they got to El Paso. Now, my father then was employed by a large dry goods store, much like, you know, Liberty House or something like that, in El Paso. And he worked his way up to where he was the buyer and manager of the apparel department. And so he used to make trips to New York, buying trips. And he loved baseball. And he really got enthralled with the New York Yankees and other, you know, significant baseball players. And so when he was up there on one of his trips, he met a guy who was trying to promote an ice cream baseball that would be used to serve at the ball games. And they convinced him that they had somebody out in Hawaii that was interested in the franchise, and they wanted him to get out and be the one who would help promote the franchise and so on. And so that's how he wound up pulling out of El Paso in 1922, and came here. Unfortunately, the ice cream baseball turned out to be a real bomb, because it was in a foil package wrapped with simulated strap, you know, a simulated baseball. But nobody thought to put it on a stick like a milk nickel or something like that. And so the damn thing just melted in your hands in this hot weather here. And so the Raleigh Ice Cream Company that had the franchise, they just said, you know, they couldn't handle it. They weren't going to. And so my father had to make a terrific decision. Is he going to go back to El Paso, or is he going to stay in Hawaii? And so he decided to stay in Hawaii.
Fantastic. That's a very interesting. Talk about TB. My family was one reason why they came here, too. Any siblings?
Yes, I have an older son, who's George A.
No, George, sibling.
Oh, a brother.
Brother, sister.
My brother.
Okay.
My brother Bill, who is very active with the club here.
That's William. What?
William Dixon Cook.
Uh-huh.
And he is much more active than I have been at the club, because he's practically a fixture around here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a good athlete as compared to me, because I was a kind of a 90-pound weakling type.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad. So you were reared where?
Well, initially,
in
Honolulu.
Honolulu. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess
where'd you live?
The first home they moved into was up in Kaimakee, right next to the Kaimakee Fire Station.
Oh, wow.
And the firemen used to come over and take care of me as a little kid. You know, they enjoyed that. And my mother could use the help because she was up high with my brother. And so that was our first home. And from there, my dad, after this ice cream baseball fiasco, my dad got into the restaurant business with a guy with a restaurant on Bethel Street called Shag's Cafe. And then
how do you spell that, Shag's?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I was pretty young. S-H-A-G-G-S, probably.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And so then his Shag and my father, they worked out an arrangement where they took over a restaurant in Haleiwa that was in bad shape. And so my dad agreed to move out to Haleiwa and run that restaurant while his partner ran the restaurant in on Bethel Street.
And this was in the 19 what?
This would be probably 1923, 24, something like that.
Haleiwa was still isolated.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
It?
Oh, was it isolated? Von Holt used to drive his cattle down the street to the Haleiwa harbor. And then they would load the ship with the cattle right off of Haleiwa. And so my mom was, you know, deathly afraid as a little toddling kid that I would run out to the street in front of the cattle. So she was very much concerned.
So you lived out in Haleiwa?
I lived out there,
oh,
yeah.
Until when?
I'm very young, so it's hard to remember this. Probably for maybe 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And then with my father not being there to work closely with this guy with the Bethel Street restaurant, he went belly up with it and took the whole deal down. And so, they lost the restaurant on Bethel Street and the one at Haleiwa. Yeah, it's the same location that the present Haleiwa restaurant is located, you know.
You mean the one at the harbor?
The one, yeah, at the harbor there.
Uh-huh, that's Haleiwa Joe.
No, it's across the street.
Oh, Jameson's.
By the sea.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
the
that's
same,
nice to know.
Same restaurant area. It's amazing.
Holy cats.
Yeah. And we lived in a couple of little, there were two little cottages, and we rented one of them and somebody else in another
in,
one.
In that location.
In that location, right,
super,
adjacent to
super.
It. And so then he, when the restaurant business went belly up, then he went into the advertising business, went in with it, and I can't remember the advertising agency or whoever he was with, but from there, he then went to, sold real estate for a brief period of time. Real estate was booming up in Kaimakee, and so they were, and that was a dust bowl up there,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
But he was active in selling some real estate for maybe a year or so. His partner was a guy named Alton J. Cohen.
C-O-H-E-N.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a realtor. So then my dad felt that he'd like to get back into what he knew best, and that was advertising and promotion. And so he went to the Advertiser, and he worked for the Advertiser in their what they call display advertising uh-huh. division under Thurston.
Thurston, yeah.
And he one of his major clients was Mohandas, is it Mohandas Watamal? Anyway, he had a good-sized dry goods store on Fort Street.
Watamals.
Yeah, and that was the beginning of the Watamals, yeah. And he appreciated my father's knowledge about advertising and about buying and
The actual merchandising.
Because he appreciated, you know, the way he could approach doing the advertising for his merchandising. And so that was one of his major clients. And so he worked there until he had a stroke.
It's in the family, huh?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
And he recovered. I guess it was not too severe. He had difficulty talking at first, but then he got along all right. And this was in the depths of the Depression. I think it was around 1930, 31 that he had this stroke. And so Thurston,
time to have it.
And Thurston just, you know, said, "Look, we can't keep you." They didn't have medical benefits like they have now.
Yeah.
And so he let him go. Mm. And he had, you know, nothing. And so what we were living then at a place at 1629 Kalakaua Avenue next to the John E.E. property in the Boyd Estate. And that's up close to where Kalakaua intersects with King Street. There was that large John E.E. property in there.
They that's way up that side towards Pauwa Theater.
That's right.
Yeah.
But just down from Pauwa Theater. And
is that right side or left side of Kalakaua?
Mackay
side.
As
you're going.
Right side. Coming here, right side.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it was a large property that was owned by John E.E.
Yeah.
And the
how do you spell that E.E.? Do you remember? Is it E.E.?
Yeah, that's the Brown family, John E.E. Brown.
Oh, E.E.
Yeah.
I.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a fairly large house, and so what they did is they started, since they knew the restaurant business, my father and dad started a place called Cook's Place, a restaurant with a little wooden sign hanging out, which I guess you couldn't do today with a permitting situation
on.
But they just hung up this shingle, Cook's Place, 1629 Kalakaua Avenue, and of course they had, you know, many friends, and so it was quite successful, and they made a livelihood.
And your mother worked at it too.
And my mother worked at it. You know, they were both good cooks and had lots of Southern recipes.
Did you wait tables?
I was a little young for that.
Oh. Gee, in the 30s? That's right. That's right. You would be.
About 10 years old or so.
Yeah.
See, I was born in 20.
Yeah.
And so the next door was this big agricultural area that had taro and rice.
Yeah.
They were growing rice in there.
That was before the shopping center.
And they had an artesian well right at the by the corner by King Street side. And they would pump that water all through and irrigate the taro patches the rice fields. And the family's name was Pang. Now, I don't know the first name, but later on I found out, one of my dear friends here at the club, Ah Kong Pang, was related to
you're
them.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh,
and his brother, Joe Pang,
who
became a plumbing contractor and so on. So, no, we have all these connections with names and people. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so then later on, my father, I went then went to Lincoln School because it was
That's
easy
was
to
gonna
get
ask
there.
You. What
I
was
went
your
to
education?
Lincoln School for my elementary school education.
Yeah.
And during that time, I would walk to and from school. I passed by a storefront area that the Department of Agriculture apparently was leasing because they were doing experiments on the Mediterranean fruit fly.
Then they were,
And I was as a kid, of course, I was interested in everything. So I stopped in one time, and the guys invited me in and said, and took me around and showed me what was going on. And so they said, you know, when summer comes, come around here. You can help. So I used to go with the guys up to pick mangoes that they used for their experiments, and to trap fruit flies in one of these fruit fly traps up in Tantalus and places like that. And so, you know, I got an introduction to the discipline of science and,
sure.
and what you have to do to figure out things.
Yeah.
And so that was a another little interesting phase of my life. We used to, as kids, from that area, we took a skate and took it apart, put it on a 2x4, and made the forerunner of skateboards with a broomstick handle.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would skate all the way into town.
Holy cats.
And as a matter of fact, I remember we skated into town when the city of Honolulu burned at Honolulu Harbor.
It was a Chinatown fire.
No, this is the city of Honolulu steamship.
Okay.
Yeah. And you see, it was, I think it was they claim that it was deliberately set on fire by competing interests. And the Dillinghams, I think, were involved in this particular steamship. And Castle and Cook was involved. And so I guess, I don't know, I think Castle and Cook people or somebody set the fire. They claim they did. Anyway, the thing just burned and sank right at the pier there at the head of Bishop Street, you know, the pier there. Well, I remember...
That's Pier 8?
Yeah, I remember calling Rudy, the telephone operator of the advertiser, who was had one crippled leg, and in those days, he knew everything. And he was, you know, the phone operator for the advertiser. So I called Rudy from the house, and I asked, what's going on in town? Because we saw all this smoke from our house there on Kalakaua Avenue. And he said, the ship is on fire. So we skateboarded down to Dillingham Building, you know, and down that area, and saw the fire. And so that's another interesting experience.
So after Lincoln, where did you go?
I went to Roosevelt.
Oh, straight from Lincoln?
Yes.
You didn't go because, Stevenson?
No, because in those days, Roosevelt started in the seventh grade.
Okay.
They later on changed and...
Yeah, had a middle school.
Have a middle school, but they didn't have middle school then.
So you are a Roosevelt graduate.
And the first class then went all the way through...
Really?
Yeah.
And that was what year?
1938 is when I graduated. And that would have been...
My brother-in-law graduated in 37.
Yeah, probably. Who's that?
Dumontier.
Oh, yeah, Marine.
Yeah, I
remember him. Yeah. So... we were the first class to go from 7th grade through 12th grade in Roosevelt.
Okay.
And when we, you know, first arrived on the campus, that huge banyan tree that's there now was this little sapling that they had to
Chinese
put a,
banyan.
They had to put a wire fence around it to keep the kids from trampling it on the patio. So that's, you know, that's my situation there. But ultimately, my family... they found a couple of British gals that were running a tea house,
Tea room.
Tea room.
Yeah. Like Wyoli.
Yeah, a tea room where they served tea and
high tea.
And all kinds of snacks and things like that in Prince Kuhio's house on Kuhio Beach. And they wanted to get out. And so my mom and dad worked the deal with them and took over the place and moved their cook's restaurant.
That would be located right now where the police station is?
Pretty much.
Pretty much so.
I made some notes here of things that I'm trying to remember. The Prince Kuhio home was on Kalakaua across from Liliuokalani Street.
Okay.
Yeah. And right across from us was a drugstore. I think it was Hollister's drugstore or something like that.
Yeah.
Very few stores and buildings in Waikiki at that time because this was probably around 1933 or so.
The Royal had opened in 27.
Yeah.
Moana, 1901.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they moved to we moved to the Prince Kuhio home and we moved into the home. We lived upstairs. It was one huge room And so, you know, my brother and I had beds, and my mother and father had a bed in the other end of the room. And, and of course, we had a lovely view right out from the Tukuhio surf.
Multi-million dollar view.
And, of course, the restaurant downstairs was the same arrangement. They had an oceanfront view. There were big, two big old iron cannons mounted into the wall. I don't know whatever happened to those cannons when the place was demolished.
Now, what was that restaurant called?
Cook's Restaurant.
Cook's, again, you carried it along.
And so we stayed there until they decided that they wanted to demolish it. And
that
so we were the last. We were the last people to live in there.
What year was
I think that was 1934 or something like
that.
Whoa. Yeah. The building had a couple of little cottages that were servants' cottages for the prince. And my mom and dad rented those cottages out to people to, you know, help pay for the
rent. They leased the whole property.
That's right. The whole property.
Okay.
And not just the use of the and that was a beautiful building. And also, it had some lovely, they had a huge, the centerpiece facing towards Eva, living room type arrangement in the downstairs, which, you know, we used.
Wouldn't the Moana block the view?
Well, and I wasn't thinking of looking in that direction. I'm talking about a huge hanging of tapa on the wall. You know, things like that that they left, they were still there.
That's worth some bucks.
And, you know, I worry about whatever happened when they demolished that thing. Did they save any of this stuff?
Sure, they would have.
Yeah.
Somebody would have cockroached it.
Because right next door was Bill Kanakanui. He lived he lived next door. And then beyond that were the
Steiners.
Banyan. Yeah. Well, a Waikiki Tavern. Now, backing up a little bit. In between some of these moves, which, you know, it's hard for me to remember as a young kid, I remember when I was about 8 or 9, somewhere around there, we also moved to to Kuhio Avenue and stayed there for about a year. Why, you know, I don't know. But on the corner beyond where we lived was Charlie Amalo. His son Sammy and his wife, who was a teacher, and they lived on the corner.
She was Muriel Campbell? No,
no, no. He married. She died years ago, and then he married Muriel Shingle.
Shingle.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so.
Oh boy.
And so, I used to in those days. I was just being introduced to swimming and so on. My parents didn't swim at all, and so they weren't a damn bit interested in the beach. But we would go down to Kuhio Beach, to an area between the Waikiki Tavern and the Steiners' home. There was a walkway to the beach in there, and the Steiners let a lot of the beach boys keep their surfboards in under the house, under the Steiner's house. And I remember that Charlie Amalo, you know, he was quite active down there.
He's a good old boy.
Yeah, was, you know, an active beach boy even in those days. And so that is essentially where I began to really be acquainted with surfboards and so on.
And Outrigger hadn't come into your mind yet.
No.
And isn't that something?
Yeah. And so we used to surf off of walk out. There was a little
pier.
And we'd take our surfboards out, toss them in the pier to save paddling out all that distance, and we'd go and surf Kuhio surf. So, you know, the timeline on this is different, I guess.
Don't worry. We'll keep it. Yeah. We'll keep it in line.
Yeah. And so. That was my introduction to surfing.
So after graduation from high school, what happened? What'd you do after graduation?
I went to work for the tax office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the real property tax office under Bill Borthwick. He was the commissioner at that time. Campbell Crozier was my immediate boss,
uh-huh.
and then other bosses was Sam Fuller. Was
oh yeah.
One of them.
Yeah.
And so.
Sam was the guy, I bet, that got you into the club.
That's right. He's the one. But there was an episode previous to that. Again, I'm digging into my memory pretty much.
Sure.
But during that period of time when we were at the 1629 Kalakaua, where, you know, my mm-hmm. dad had his stroke and so on,
yeah.
a lovely lady by the name of Mrs. Walsh, I don't remember her first name, she had a Walsh's dress shop on the corner of Lewers and Kalakaua.
Uh-huh.
And she is the one who...
Do you remember which corner?
It's the Mackay Eva corner.
So where First Hawaiian Bank is.
Yes, that's right, where First Hawaiian Bank is. And so she said to my father, you know, your kids should belong to the Outrigger Club. And I'll make arrangements, and I'll even pay for their initiation fee, whatever, at $10
wow.
or something like that back in those days. And so I joined.
Joined
the Outrigger Club. And we used to go down to the really old club.
Yes. The old pavilion.
Yeah. Where Ulunio was next door.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who owned the area that we would go, but what would happen is my dad, with our surfboards, would drop us off because they didn't have lockers for kids'
boards.
That
was before the lagoon was cut off, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Apuakehau stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we'd go there with a can of pork and beans. Because there was no...
Yeah,
I don't know,
they had the commissary there.
Yeah. And they had these individual gas-fired mm-hmm. Little burners. Now, I don't know, I'm trying to remember whether those burners were the property of the Ulunio or no. whether it was the Outrigger Club.
Oh, that's right.
Whose burners they were.
Because Ulunio used to have big sukiyaki and all that stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And chicken heka that people used to make up over those big burners.
Yeah. Well, these
but Sasaki, you know, had burners too.
Yeah. Well, I you see, that's the problem. I can't remember all this.
Yeah.
But
that's all right.
But we would have that for our lunch. We'd stash it and heat
great.
It up on the gas burner. And
gee, you could have put it in the hot sand too.
Yeah, probably. <you know? laughs> And of course, I remember in those days some, you know, real characters. But guys who would see a couple of young kids like us and say, hey, I got to take care of those guys, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them was Jennings Parker.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he Weeps. Was a real character. And
he was a good guy.
Mahat Lyman, mm-hmm. people like that.
Yes.
Tucker Chase, Brother Chase.
Brother Chase.
Yeah. He used to be, you know, look out for us kids and keep us in order. And I remember Brother Chase had that little one-man court that he would make in there. And
we've all been initiated.
And he would just beat the hell out of us, you know, in volleyball.
Well, what was bad was that one hit. You know, you couldn't go set yourself up. See, it was one hit, and that was it. And you telegraphed, yeah. he'd see you, you know.
And I remember they even had a punching bag there. And
oh,
there was
really?
There was a little skinny guy. Can't
Willie Whittle.
It could be. Willie was there, too.
Yeah, oh,
Willie
yeah.
Whittle was there. And so, you know, those were happy days in my
oh,
life.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But then as I, what happened is, and one of the things we used to do, too, is from where we were there on Kalakaua and King, we would take surfboards up to the trolley station. Or trolley
hang on
stop.
The side.
Hang on, hold the board between the two of us, and hang on the side. Go to McCulley, transfer, and
yeah.
then take the McCulley one down to in front of the club, and
hilarious.
That's the way we'd get. That's the way we get our boards down to the club.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, that's super.
So it was interesting.
So you were working in the tax office, and of course the war came along.
Yeah.
Were you able to stay with the tax office?
That's right,
yeah.
because I was
essential.
Considered an essential employee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I remember that.
So you stayed all through the war in
yeah.
the tax office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that after the we were able to go back to work after the war, we were discussing in the newspaper, you know, what happened on December 7th.
Sure.
And one of the guys there, a Scotch guy who was one of the appraisers, he said, "You know, look at this listing of people that were killed in that McCulley fire, you know, that
oh,
was
yeah. Friendly there. Fire.
Yeah. And he said, all these, this whole Nonami family was killed there, you know, 14 yeah. people or so.
We saw that and fire I from said, our place up in Round Top.
And I said, that's not Nonami, that's no name. they didn't know. They didn't know who they were. So they.
Hilarious.
So,
that's beautiful. Oh, that's going in for sure.
So.
Oh, but, golly.
And so then, ultimately, I worked for the chief engineer for assessment.
Oh.
The chief valuation engineer, yeah. they call
chief
him.
Chief appraiser, huh?
And we, because the appraisers were not skilled on the neighbor islands, we would go to all the neighbor islands for the plantations.
What a junket.
And so I then would travel to Maui, sure. Hawaii, and so on, and spend a month or so there going to the plantations and doing the evaluation for tax purposes.
Gee, no time for dating, huh?
Yeah, well, practically, you might say that, yeah. And so when I got back from a trip to Maui on December the 6th,
whoa,
I had brought back from Maui a gallon of cream, because we love to have eggnogs for Christmas uh-huh. and so on, and I brought back a ham from Ulapalakula Ranch. They used to do their own hams uh-huh. and so on. And so, I had quite a bit of food. And then I woke up the next morning and I heard this droning on our little radio. And at that time, we were living on Lewis Road.
Lewis Road.
Yeah.
Whereabouts on Lewis?
Well, it's right now where it's just the property below where the current shopping center, Royal Hawaiian Shopping Center,
okay.
down Lewis.
Yeah, where that big parking structure is.
There was a gal
is.
That had a hula studio. Betty Lay Hula Studio was in the rear. And then there were some cottages, and then there was a row of duplexes, and we lived in one of the duplexes.
Oh, fantastic.
And so I'm sitting there hearing this droning, and suddenly I hear like somebody had thrown a whole bunch of gravel on the roof of the building, and a loud boom. And so I, went over and listened, and then I could hear Webb Edwards saying, "This is not an exercise. This is for real.
Oh, yeah.
We're being attacked," and so on. So I jumped over the fence into the Royal Hawaiian, through the back.
Sure.
And I ran down to the beach.
Could take a look
and see what was going on. And here were these winter tourists in those big rocking chairs that they had,
yeah.
looking out to the sea and seeing some of the cruisers, destroyers running around like mad, and all the smoke coming from Pearl Harbor. And they were saying, "What the heck's going on?
Yeah.
I can't understand what." And so that was my introduction to the war.
Yeah. My goodness. So, you left the tax office when?
I left the tax office in 1950.
Oh, well, let's back up.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you meet your future wife?
At Tommy Thomas, we were living there on Lewis Road. Tommy Thomas, I met him through R.Q. Smith. And
at the club, yeah.
And Tommy, ultimately, when the war ended, he came back and lived with us for a while as a roommate
yeah.
in my upstairs.
Yeah.
We were invited to Luahi Lambert's I don't remember. Talk about guys with their names.
Yeah.
Lambert.
How you spell that? Lowaki.
Charlie Lambert.
Oh, Charlie. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lowaki was his first name?
Well, no, that was his nickname. You know, oh. You talk about these nicknames.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Lowaki. I got to go look.
I think it means throw up. I'm not sure.
Yes.
But anyway.
Go ahead.
So he was having a luau. I guess it was some significant celebration. His mother and father lived at Waimano Home. His father was the superintendent of Waimano Home.
Boy, that's a way far away. Yeah,
and so they were having a big luau there. And so Tommy said, you know, I've been invited to the luau. And I said, well, he said, I'm going to take Rusty. And because we had met Rusty and I had met Tommy on the ship coming back from his graduation. I went to his graduation in
Missouri.
Yeah. If not his graduation, to him getting his final chemical engineering degree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because he had graduated from college
before
previously.
War.
Yeah, before the war. Then after the war, he went back and got his chemical engineering degree.
Yeah.
And then he came back to work for Pacific Chemical and Fertilizer with R.Q. Smith again. And so I said, well, I don't have a date. And he said, well, I'll ask Rusty if she has any ideas. Well, Rusty was working as the cafeteria manager for the YWCA. Bunny was the health ed director for the YWCA. And so she said, you
what's
know,
Bunny's full name?
Emma Bjornson Cook.
Bjornson. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Her maiden name is Bjornson. B-J-O-R-N-S-O-N. Bjornson.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Bunny was a blind date for me.
Hey!
And so we got together, and then I used to, you know, bring Bunny down to the club, and she claims, and I guess rightfully so, that I quartered her in the little two-man canoe, because that was my specialty. I could even surf by myself in the two-man canoe. I used to do
fun.
That.
Yeah.
Of course, it wasn't as crowded then as it is now. So that's how we met.
Where's Bunny from?
She's from Boston area,
oh, really?
From West Newton, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And she went to the Sargent College for Women. In those days, it was Women's College.
Yeah.
But it became a division of Boston University.
Oh,
and so she lived in a dormitory, which was right next to the dormitories of Harvard. And she swears that John Kennedy was living in the dorm opposite on the other side.
Yeah.
Well, not somebody else. I mean, she just said that she's pretty sure that she remembers him, Jack Kennedy.
Yeah.
And even someone like Harold Wright, you know. Harold Wright. The local local attorney.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, Smith, Wright, B.B. and Cage, or something like that.
Yeah.
And
I'll be darned. So, okay, so we got you married.
Yeah, I'm married.
Now we go back to, what were your, besides volleyball and canoeing, did you surf and all that?
Yeah, I surfed.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember you out there.
God. Yeah, I remember surfing once and having a collision with Pete Howell. We've laughed about it ever since. But so I used to do a lot of surfing.
Yeah.
That was.
But you liked that canoodling, huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Samoan canoe that they brought in? This was after the war.
Yeah.
And I remember taking out the Samoan canoe and having a ball. It had a bow,
mm-hmm.
like a cutter bow. Mm. But damn thing was fast, you know.
Yeah. No, I can't remember that.
That's great. Okay, what happened after, tax office?
Well, tax office, my boss, who was the chief valuation engineer, his name was Cyril.
Last name was Cyril?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knew Med Gibson. who was the president at that time of First Federal Savings and Loan. And Med Gibson had previously been an officer with Bishop Trust Company, and then they lured him away to run this
now,
savings
that Med
and loan.
Is M-E-D?
Medley is his first name.
Oh, Medley.
Name.
Okay.
R. Medley Gibson.
R. Medley Gibson. Good. Yeah. Okay.
And so he said that they were interested in doing some of their own appraisal at First Federal, and they were interested in somebody working as a loan officer, and would I, you know, be interested in applying for the job. So I went in and met Med and Gibb, as we call him. That's his nickname, Gibb. I met Gibb, and we kind of struck it off well. And so he offered me a job, and I think it was $350 a month. I had to take a pay cut because I think I was making $375 a month at the time. But so I, in 1950, I moved to First Federal, and I became an appraiser and loan officer and everything. Because in those days, they only had about six employees, and so you did everything.
Yeah. Yeah. The SNLs just came in after the war, I think. Was there anything before?
Well, no. They were building a loan societies.
That's what it was called.
And this was started as Mutual Building and Loan Society.
Oh, I see.
It started by Ted Trent's father, Theodore F. Trent. I think that's Ted's name.
It was a Trent that was a treasurer of the club, too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
His father, I can't remember his name, they called him Deacon Trent, but anyway, they had Trent Trust Company. And so, under the auspices of Trent Trust Company, they started this Mutual Building and Loan Society. And that was way back, because it was 1904, I think, that they established the Mutual Building and Loan Society. And then, ultimately, Trent Trust Company was acquired by Cook Trust Company.
Oh, okay.
Because the Cook family owned the property that they were in.
That's
they
a Cook with an E.
Yes, the Cook with an E. And so that's how I got going with First Federal.
And you stayed.
And I stayed right on. And I went.
You retired when?
I retired in 1982.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How many years would that be?
Well, from 50 to 82, 22 years.
22. Fantastic. And now,
wait, 50 to 82 is
30
years.
Yeah. 32.
Yeah.
What happened to First Federal? It's no longer.
Well, it was acquired by Bank of Hawaii.
Oh, Bank of Hawaii ate it up.
See, First Federal went public.
Yeah.
And as soon as you go public, then you've got everybody looking down your throat.
Sure.
And so Bank of Hawaii and First Hawaiian Bank were both Johnny Bellinger and...
Cannon.
I forget who was. Well, it wasn't Cannon. Willie. It was somebody
before.
No, after Willie.
Oh, after.
But anyway, they were both looking at First Federal. We had that choice property on the corner of Fort. We had bought that from the Inter Island Steamship Company, and Hawaiian Airlines. They were the two occupants of the
Inter Island
of the building.
Airways. Yeah. Okay.
And so. We, you know, they made an offer, and same thing like this Citibank and Central Pacific situation, except ours was not hostile. We didn't, we didn't try to deflect them. And then finally we picked Bank of Hawaii as having the best proposal, in our opinion, for the stockholders. Mm-hmm. One of the bigger stockholders was... Henry Clark.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Sitting with him at this meeting when we decided to do that. But so then I became a retiree of Bank of Hawaii, and that by osmosis.
So. Now, after you retired in 82, you retired?
Well, actually, I stayed on from a period of time as the...
Consulting?
Yeah, consulting. I was chairman of the executive committee.
Uh-huh.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
And so I stayed on.
But until?
Until
they threw you out.
No, what happened? They just eliminated the board and everything else, you know.
Bank of Hawaii decided they didn't need a board
or anything like that.
That was what? About?
Must have been about 1986 or something.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you were really out on
so
your
then
butt.
I was really retired at that point.
Well, that brings us back to the club. I see you got very active. Well, let's see. You 1967-1968, you were treasurer for 2 years with the club.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was there any fun then with the books?
No, not that I recall.
Everything pretty smooth.
Yeah, everything was pretty smooth.
Yeah, I see. From then you got back in it, 1987, 88, 89, 1991. By golly, treasurer all those years. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You know what was interesting to me is how the member equity has grown in this club.
Mm-hmm.
God, I think it's more than 13 million right now. Do you remember what it is?
Yeah, well, I don't remember now, but what it was then, you mean?
Yeah. I think
it was not very significant, because the main thing was that Tommy Thomas is the one who originated the idea that we should take all of the initiation fees and put them into a fund for what they call a building fund, the idea being that we would use that money to pay for the purchase of the leasehold interest.
Yes, and, that's right.
And so it was his insistence.
Just
and
built.
I went along with that as treasurer and kept pushing on it, and we diligently invested that money in secure investments. At one point, I don't know what it is now, but at one point is about 30% in fixed dollar investments and 70% in equities, and all of them would be mutual funds, recognized quality mutual funds that were mutual funds. And we've sort of, I don't know what it is now, but I guess we're still sticking to that
still
philosophy.
Heavy duty. My gosh. In your opinion,
mm-hmm.
you think we'll ever get this land?
No. No, the more I read about what's doing now, where they're